You know, I'd almost like to ask you to sing me a special song. All these songs are special. I really enjoyed that one, that How Great Thou Art. It really brings memories to our mind of how great God is and what He's done for us in the past. Have you ever found yourself on a high mountain peak and looked out over the grandeur of all the valley and the trees and all the expanse that may have been out before you? And that song has come to my mind many times, How Great Thou Art. Been out in the night, and not all of you I know are privileged to live out where there's no light pollution. I live out in country, and when the sky is clear, sometimes you get out on a clear, crisp night and you look up and no moon is even up and the sky is full of stars. One end to the other. And I say to myself, how great thou art. To know that the God that we serve tonight is not only the one who's able to fling the stars in space and hang it there, hold this little earth and spin it, Make you and I stay on it. Make it where we have springtime and summer, fall and winter. He's also able to take you and I in life and cause us to triumph. And to present us faultless. Scripture says that. There's others who have tried this way and put their trust in our Lord, and one of them wrote in the scripture that he said, resist the devil. His testimony is that if you do it, the devil will flee from us. There's victory in that, dear ones. And I thank the Lord tonight that the God that we serve is one we can put our full faith and trust in. But I'd like for you to sing me a song tonight about we serve a risen Savior. You know, we sing that a lot of times at Easter, and it thrills my heart every time we, around the Passover and the resurrection time, we sing about the risen Savior, but that song should be sung year round. So would you sing it to me tonight? I'll give you some time perhaps it's not in our songbook. I think it should be, but as you look it up perhaps on your phones, isn't that something? We have all that at our fingertips now. When I was a young man, that didn't happen. So, does somebody have that song and willing to lead it? Get a mic for him.
I need Him, He's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You will ask me how I know He lives. He lives. Rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who see.
loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along my narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Yes, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. That's the one we're serving tonight, is a risen Lord. He's alive, and I hope that every one of us can say we know He's alive because He's in our heart. We've had that experience. If you don't have that tonight, I want to tell you, God has that for us. And He's interested in extending that blessing to everyone, whosoever will let Him come. So we call this a revival. And it's a time for us, you know, we've come through the winter and sometimes there's some struggles with life, and spring's here now and it's time for us to have some reviving. Sometimes there's some spring house cleaning that we do. You ever done that before? My mother used to do that. Take the screens off the house and start washing the windows and do some deep cleaning. Sometimes we need to do that spiritually. Sometimes we come and present ourselves to the Lord. I notice here, we've got people here from a lot of different places. And we're grateful that you're here. I want to welcome you. And I also want you to know that when we come here to Monarch, while we enjoy being with each other, we really are interested in having the Lord deal with our hearts. We want to be revived in the inner man, be stirred. So, I would like to invite you into my world for just a little bit. And being a country boy, a farmer, have some cattle and they eat grass. And I have some pasture where trees have, sprouts have been taken over, kind of growing. And, you know, if you don't fight that, it'll take over a pasture completely and grass is greatly diminished. In time, you all know what a hedge tree is. Some of you do, some of you don't. Hedge tree is one of these old hard, they have a, in the summertime, they have a green, what we call a hedge apple on it. Some of you may, anyway, I won't try to describe it anymore. But it's a hardy plant. We made posts out of this, and there was a post that's sitting on our property that I know was there when my grandpa was fairly young, and it's still there now and serviceable. It is durable. To get rid of it, you take a chainsaw and you can see sparks fly. It's that hard. It's a heavy wood. At night, if you ever try to cut it, you'll see sparks. But fireworks. There was a big old tree out there in the wrong spot in my pasture the other day. More than one. And it started with when it grew, it had more than one kind of trunk down close to the bottom. It splayed out. And in the middle of that, there was an old rat's nest and others kind of confetti up in there. And I thought, I've got the answer for this old tree. Put a match in there to that kindling and it started burning. I started this fire last Wednesday morning. It's still burning. Right now. It's raining at my house. It's still burning. I've bunched stuff up. It's burned part of it. It's falling apart. I've bunched things back. It's still burning. I expect to go back probably tomorrow morning before coming over here and trying to bunch up some more to try to help burn it out. Now, there's a spiritual lesson we want to get to this. Let's turn over here in Proverbs, the 26th chapter. And 20th verse says, where there is no wood,
Where no wood is, this is Proverbs, the 26th chapter and the 21st, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. Okay, I want us to look at this in two different perspectives tonight. You know, there are some things that in our spirit we want to keep vibrant, we want to keep on fire, we want to keep revived, we want to keep active for the things of the Lord. And one of the things that helped this tree burn was it had more than one big trunk next to its, next to each other. That causes heat, greater heat. Now, there's a scripture also talks about if one can chase two, it's much greater, 10,000. There's a reason why the Lord sent people, His disciples out two by two. There's a reason why God doesn't want us to be isolated. There's a reason why the Lord wants us to have a little fire in our bosom and go over and tell my brother, I love you. I'm grateful we're able to be here in this little meeting here and put our arms around each other and say, I love you, brother. Are you encouraged? We want to be encouraged. Oh, I've been having some struggles and feel a little bit down, but I'm here and I'm, all these songs have rung true in my heart tonight and I'm feeling the Lord stirring and I want some of that. I want some revival, Lord. I want you to stir down in my heart and search me, O Lord. I want to present myself to you, Lord, and I want the fire and I want us to come together as a group of people that locks arms together and says, brother, let's go up onto Zion. Let's climb up a little higher. Let's allow the Lord to burn within our bosom. Now, there are some things on the negative side that the devil can plant in our hearts that is very durable. There's all kinds of ideas that the devil like to plant in our heart. What about that garden? Where is it? It's in our heart, isn't it? This place where the seeds of righteousness the Lord plants in our heart and He wants it to grow flourishingly in my heart. But there's a devil comes along and he has another kind of seed he wants to cast in there. And I want to tell you, if you don't take care of it, it'll grow very, very durable. It will begin to take over and choke out. And I want to tell you, that's another good place to let the fire of the Holy Spirit work in those areas of our life. This fire of the Holy Spirit has two actions. It warms my heart, purifies, sets as a purifier the sons of Levi. He comes to work in our hearts and put us on, light the fire in our very bosom and inspire us in life. And He also comes to point out some things that need to be moved, need to be burned. Submit to the fire. And in services like this, we expect the Lord to come and meet us at times like this. While we enjoy the times together, we should always expect when we come to these campgrounds that we're coming to a place that God deals with our hearts. We should preserve in our mind, this is not just a social gathering, though we enjoy being together. But this is a gathering where we present ourselves before the God of heaven and expect that He stirs in my heart. Come tenderly before the Lord tonight. Where there is no wood, there the fire goes out. That means there are some places along the road of life. How do you put to preserve your spiritual vigor? What do you think you need to do? How about watching and praying? What does that mean? Watching and praying. That mean I just kind of wake up in the morning and open my eyes open and look around. It's much on a spiritual level. There's places to be aware of, to recognize where my weaknesses are. That's why we come and praying. When we come down before the Lord in prayer, I'm not just saying, Lord, just bless me today. I want to have everything go all good today. I want everything to go my way. And if it doesn't go like I hope and plan, then I'm going to be disappointed. That's not a good prayer. The prayer is to come and say, Lord, lead me today. Lord, I want to be in tune with you today. And Lord, while I'm here talking to you, I've got these things roaming around in my mind. I've got some things that's really bothering me. These attitudes that I'm starting to feel. I've got some things that's really stirring and it's bothering my... Lord, help me. I see a place of weakness. Lord, would you bring your fire a little closer to me? Because I feel a coldness that has begun to creep over my spirit and I don't want that, Lord. That's what we can do. Watch and pray. Put some wood on the fire. Lord, this is part of me that I recognize. And thank you, Lord, for revealing to me these areas that are warring against my soul. That are trying to deter me from my eternal goal. I want to make heaven. I believe everybody here wants to. But to do that, that means we have to deny ourselves. Take up a cross. How often? Every day. Anytime the devil comes around, make sure the cross is used. Anytime the old carnal self wants to rise up in us and try to demand some attention, take the cross. Put some wood on the fire. Allow the Lord to inspire, to cause us to have a greater measure of victory in our life. Now this verse wasn't talking about that side of the fire tonight.
There's another area here it's talking about. And it's spoken of in the rest of that verse. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth.
So, knowing the tactics of Satan, being aware of what he wants to do in our life, we should be on guard. We know that the devil is not the Prince of Peace, is he? God, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We know what he wants to do in our lives. He wants to bring us to a place of solid footing. Of understanding, of place we feel secure in the Lord. I don't need, my security is not in you approving of me. My security is found in being in touch with my Heavenly Father. And you know, when our ways please the Lord, He helps us to have a greater measure of peace even with our enemies. That's not an exact quote of that verse, but that's the verse is talking about that. What does that verse say? Can you quote it? Because I got it messed up in my mind now. I probably messed it up in your mind too. When a man's way pleases the Lord, he causeth even his enemies to be at peace with him. I believe it's something like that. If you'd look it up, and if I'm wrong, you can please correct me because I want it to be corrected in your mind. But God, when He gets in our heart, this Prince of Peace does cause us to be a peaceable people. This love, this influence that God has in our hearts, it causes us to be have an effect in our congregation. All before that, it causes us to have a peaceable effect in my family. Then in my congregation, in my community, and in the nation I live in. And God knows we have a need of godly people in this nation who stands up with peaceful desires to bless the neighborhood around them. Because this nation needs a call to God, to peace, to righteousness. And they need to see it walked.
in shoe leather like ours. God, help us to put some wood on the fire. Allow the Lord to light, to inspire us. And then as He begins to work with us, that we might be able to see those areas that perhaps aren't like Him or are detracting or that are warring against my soul. And I grab that and say, Lord, I see this weakness. I see this area. And the area that I might... There's a verse about the sin that doth so easily beset us. A besetting sin. I may have an area that I'm weak in that you don't have. And you may have an area that you're weak in that I don't have. And there might be some things that the Lord require of you that He doesn't require of me. And vice versa. There's a reason why that we give people space. There's some people that I know and appreciate. There's some women that they have a head covering, and some feel convicted that they need to have, and some don't at all. You know what? I love them all. I want to encourage my fellow man to get in touch with God, to make heaven their home. That's what I encourage. And I want to tell you, I am inspired whenever I go, wherever I find another individual anywhere in this world, and I have some time talking with them, and we begin to talk about the things of the Lord, and I find something in there, a tenderness in their heart. I say, thank the Lord, brother. Let's go to heaven together. It's God's will to break down the barriers. It's God's will to bring people together. It's God's will to have us be reconciled to Christ. God wants us to be inspired. He wants to have the fire burning within our heart. He wants us to tend that fire. There are some times that, and like I said, tomorrow morning, hopefully if I get a chance, I want to go back there and push some more of that wood up closer to the heat. Because I want to see it burned up. God wants you and I to always feed this fire of the Holy Ghost in our heart. Part of the way we feed that is allow Him to have free course. What causes us to be more willing to allow the Lord to work in our hearts? What about this impulse? Impulse? That's not the right way to say it. What about this character, this influence of this power called love. What about that? Is it strong enough to hold us, or do we need to be fearful? Do I need to always be told, if you don't do this, you're not going to be saved anymore? Well, there are some things that I want to tell you that we can do that will separate us from the love of Christ. But I want to also tell you that the only way you're going to be held near to the heart of God is through the very love of God. I understand that we ought to have a great honor and respect and a fear for hell. That we should keep that. I want to tell you the impulse that God wants to use in the greatest measure in our heart is this drawing force of the very love of God. And He wants to win our hearts to the point that these other things of the world begin to lose their power begins to lose their draw, because I have things that are higher, things that are nobler. These have allured my sight. I have caught a vision of something greater than the carnal rancor of this world. There is something drawing me away from even myself and all my desires, all these passions, these temptations that used to be so tempting to me now. The Lord has wooed me away from that, has strengthened me in my spirit, has lit the fire in my bosom, has imparted to me the very Spirit, His Holy Spirit in my heart. And I've asked Him, I've invited Him and begged the Lord to have control of my heart. And I keep that on the altar. And I want to tell you, when you do that and you nurture this love and this relationship with the Lord, it's going to work in your life. It'll change you and I. We may not all start at the same place, except we're going to start at the cross.
But we may not have the same place of understanding. We may not have the same understanding of what I need to do, because the Lord takes us as we bring our basket of whoever we are. We bring it to the Lord, and the Lord accepts that. And then He begins to work in our hearts. I have seen people who started out well, running excitedly. I started out that way too. I was excited when I first got saved. I wanted to tell people how wonderful. And it was. It's wonderful, but I want to tell you, when you go back home from Monarch or from an experience with the Lord like that, you're going to also meet some opposition. The devil doesn't like it that you have peace and joy in your heart. The devil's interested in causing you and I to lose that. That's where, when the rubber meets the road and I'm having to actually deal with life. And I remember after I got saved, I went back home and it seemed like the devil just attacked. Even said I wasn't even saved. Said that was all just a myth. Tried to overwhelm me with a crushing force. And I remember what I, Lord, I know You did something for me. Lay hold by faith. I know You did something for me. And I remember taking a walk right back behind the dairy barn. My head was down and my tears were flowing and I was crying and feeling crushed, not knowing what to do with what this attack that I was under. And I walked and kept walking and walking back in there till there was a pond, and behind the pond dam, I just fell behind that pond dam on the ground and said, Lord. And He came there and sat down beside me. And started talking to me. I want to tell you, God loves us. He's interested in nurturing our spirit. He didn't save you to throw you away. He didn't save you to try to catch you with the smallest of failing and try to cut you off. He's not looking for that. It's not His will that you perish. It's His will. He calls you and I to life and that more abundantly. That doesn't mean, when I say that, that doesn't mean that my abundant life looks like a pocket full of gold and the latest pickup and the greatest thing. That's not what we're talking about. If that's what you're thinking wrong already. What He wants to have you and I really experience is the great love of God at work in our heart, changing us. In the inner man. And most of the changes doesn't come with a snap of a finger. It doesn't do that. Young people, I want you to know this. I want to tell you this, because in my youth, there were times that I thought that if I just prayed and prayed hard enough and believed hard enough that this thing was just going to be just gone. Almost magically, I want to tell you, some things the Lord did take away from me but then there were some things in the land of Canaan that I had to fight against. And there still is. And there will be in your experience also. But the Lord also, when we follow Him, there is assured victory. I want to tell you that part of the road on the path of growing in grace, not growing into grace, but growing in grace. Part of the path is we're going in this path of growing in the Lord and Him perfecting those things that concern us. Part of this path looks like us tending the fire in our soul. Daily. I want to encourage you. Now, this is not a commandment. This is a great encouragement. I would like to ask you to spend time every day. Find some time, and I'm not going to tell you when, but find some time to scrape out things out of your mind, to scrape other duties out of your mind, and find a closet No, I'm not talking it has to be a regular clock, but find a place where you're alone with the Lord. Young people, especially when you're learning to find your footing in life, you're dealing with these, sometimes the very oppression of Satan. Find some times that you pray. And you might say, well, Brother Ivan, I've done that, and sometimes I'm speaking to the air. Keep on speaking. Keep on praying. Sometimes you go in there and you're telling the devil, I'm still fighting, devil. I'm going to be here because I've got a victory to win. And at some point in this walk, you're going to find that the Lord, He's burning out some dross. And He's building the fire of God in your heart. And then we are able to, at some point, to be able to come to a Wednesday night prayer meeting when everybody else comes in kind of long-faced and a little. Y'all ever experienced that? I guess, am I the only one that's went to a Wednesday night prayer meeting and felt? Sometimes I've come to, as a minister, come to Wednesday night prayer meeting and say, Lord, I hope you gave somebody something for me. We're human. And sometimes we need a fire. We need somebody else who's got some fire. Another log kind of cuddled up next to me so I can be warmed by your fire. We had services last night. And I got in there. My day had been full. I had been running. And I got home about 15 minutes for time for services to start. And service was going to be in my house last night. So here I was. I got in there feeling just harried, everything going through my mind. And we started singing. Most of you know me, that these songs mean something to me. And as we begin, we sang those songs. Oh, my mind, the things began to wash over my mind and things began to be set right and my spirit began, thank you, Lord. A change. This is a fire of the Lord. This is something that the Lord wants to kindle, wants to give to each one of us. And don't any of us feel like, well, I've been on this place so long, I've got so much of the fire of the Lord in my heart. No, you're still going to, we need each other, brother. Remember that song? It was a 508 or 5 something in the songbook. We need each other, brethren. Sister Angela wrote that. And did both of you also help sing that song that morning over in the old tabernacle? Was it a Sunday morning? Sunday morning over in the old tabernacle. We sang it publicly for the first time. And it was after a time when there had been a little bit of conflict that some we'd seen. And that song spoke to all of us that morning. We need each other. And folks, we still need each other. And we're going to have some times that we don't fully understand each other. And there's going to be opportunities to carry hard feelings away from that. Don't do it. Don't put it in your pocket. Don't say, you know what? It's easier. It seems like the devil makes it so much easier for us to think ill of each other than what it is for us to think good. That's another place where the Lord wants us to take that little fault and put that over in the fire and say, Lord, I'm going to look for the good in my brother. And if I don't find it, I'm going to call to the good in my brother. I want him to make heaven. God does that for us. Does He not? I don't care what you think of yourself. You may think you're almost an angel, but you're not. God sees us as we are. And have you ever had those moments when the Lord reveals something to you and I, to us individually, that all of a sudden my eyes opened and I thought, oh Lord, everybody else has seen that. That's been me all along. And I just now saw it. And the Lord has seen it all the time. And He still loved us. And what was he doing? He was calling out the good. Saying, son, son. He's always trying. That's the love of our Heavenly Father. He's interested in inspiring the burning of His very presence in our heart. Where there is no wood. I'm not quoting that right. For no wood is, there the fire goeth out. The talebearer, strife ceaseth. Where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. So there's some things as we go through life that the Lord wants us to learn to just shut up about. I'm sorry if I said that a little harsh, a little crude, but let me say it a little softer now. There's some things the Lord wants us not to say. Just leave it alone. Because if I said it, it would stir up strife. Is that all right? We understand that? Why would the Lord call us away from some of that? You know, He's the Prince of Peace. He wants to create things in you and I. That doesn't mean we close our eyes to things that are wrong. But be careful that carnality doesn't grow in our heart. It's a stubborn thing. It's a stubborn thing. When I begin to have something stirring up within me, there's some things out there that you can spray chemicals on and it just about doesn't phase it. It's still going to live. But the fire works. The fire works. God wants to work in every one of our hearts in such a measure. And this is just the beginning of the meeting. I don't know, sometimes I think some of these meetings that we only have 4 services. I think, no, we can't make this a little mini monarch again. There's too many things. But sometimes I think maybe we should have more services than just these 4. While we're here, a lot of people travel so far to come here, but we're interested. And I'm not lobbying for extra services, dear ones. Don't get me wrong on that. But God, while we're here, let's present ourselves very tenderly in His presence and say, Lord, revive our spirits here tonight. This is the beginning of the meeting. We've got 3 more services coming up and some lessons in between. Open up our hearts and our minds and say, Lord, stir around us during this time together. Because when I leave here and go back home, I want to be greater equipped. I'll be more fully equipped to be able to gain victories personally in my life and to be able to affect my neighbor or my enemy for good. Do we not? Abraham Lincoln. There was a lot of rancor, a lot of stirring, a lot of bad, ill feelings that went on back during the Civil War. It was a terrible, terrible time in the United States. And if I am correct, and I'm not going to quote it completely correct, some of you might know it better than I, but he made the statement something to this effect that instead of using his authority as president to crush his opponent, he said, the best way to beat my enemy is to make him my friend. You see that? It's the best way. Overcome evil with good. Who taught that? Prince of Peace taught that. Prince of Peace. And he teaches it to you and I today. We're in a time where the devil is casting seed. He's going by our gardens, going by our heart, scattering all he knows how to scatter because he wants to stir up strife. But the Prince of Peace is coming along and saying, some of these things need to go away. And as the Lord identifies those areas in our heart, let's say, Amen, Lord. I want to focus on You and You alone. I need to go to heaven. Brother Clifford Wilson used to say this to us, I'm desperate for heaven. And I want to tell us If I can repeat and use His words to us tonight, we, each one of us, are desperate. We are desperate, whether you know it or not, and God help us to feel the desperation. We have to make heaven. I want to tell you, it's going to mean everything. Everything. There is nothing worth missing heaven. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world. Don't let the world cause us to miss heaven. There is one up there that calls us tonight, lovingly. It says, come unto me. Rest. I'll give you rest. Rest in me. Come unto me and learn of me and take my yoke. Sometimes that yoke is just simply submitting myself to His will. And it's easy when I'm captivated by His love. Where there is no wood, there's an area that we can feed the wrong thing in our life, but then we can also feed the right things. And God wants us to feed this part. Let's nurture this relationship with God. Because the fact is, when you're not nurturing it, when you're not feeding it, the fire's going to go out. Spiritually, we'll become weak. So Jesus spoke to people like you and I, and He says, watch and pray. Because you know not, you don't know when the Master is going to come. The fact is that we're all going to, we have an appointment that we're going to go and we're going to stand before the God of heaven and give an account of the deeds that we've done here. We're going to, and some deeds, when you get to think about it, some things you look back over your past and say, Lord, I hope I don't ever have to give an account of that deed. Well, you know how to fix that? And a good place to start is tonight, if you have those in your heart, is to take that and give an account now. Because the Scripture says, some men's sins go before. Some men's sins come after. Tonight, we have the great opportunity of taking these places in our heart and bringing it to a loving Heavenly Father and presenting it to Him now and say, Lord, I don't want to meet this at the judgment. I want to be in peace with You. I don't want to have any rancor between you and I. I want to be in tune with You. And you know what? He said He's faithful and just to forgive us. That's our Lord. He's not looking to try to make it hard for you. He's here to try to nurture you and I into righteousness, holiness, right here in this present evil world. I want to encourage us now. Again, this is the first service of the meeting, and we appreciate everyone that has come. If you have some place tonight that perhaps the Lord has exposed, and yet the Lord's calling, and He asks you to come, now's a good time to start. You can enjoy the rest of the meeting, let the Lord feed you in a greater measure. But if you started tonight, if you've already started, be it known in each one of us, we have a devil that's trying to cool us down, trying to destroy us, trying to somehow turn us away from our eternal goal. Don't let him do it. And you don't have to fail in this. Feed the flame of God in our heart. Pray for me. I want to serve Him.